Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplementation. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. If there is one thing we would probably like for ourselves, certainly, and others, most likely, it would be to retain as much of our memories as we can, as well as retain all of the things we've learned over our lifetime. Maybe we'd also like the ability to learn new things, like how to make a dollhouse for our granddaughter, how to bake our favorite dessert, even learn how to write code for a computer. In order to do that, we have to do the things we can to keep our brain functioning properly. At this point in the United States, about 15% of older adults have mild cognitive impairment, and I'll use the acronym MCI for that. By definition, MCI is a condition in which people have more memory or thinking problems than other people their age. The symptoms of MCI are not as severe as those of Alzheimer's disease or a related dementia. People with MCI can usually take care of themselves and carry out their normal daily activities. However, MCI is the largest risk factor for the development of dementia or Alzheimer's disease. There are no real specific risk factors for MCI. Now, that could mean that there are most likely some genetic factors involved. However, some of the potential risks include concussions or other head trauma earlier in life, alcohol abuse, strokes, both hemorrhagic and obstructive, emotional issues such as depression, and even reactions to medications. Now, that doesn't mean that if you had one concussion earlier in your life, you will get mild cognitive impairment. However, it has been shown with repeated head trauma and concussions in football players, it is possible to accelerate MCI and dementia-like symptoms. But you may not have known about this one. There is a known relationship between periodontitis and a decline in cognitive function. Periodontitis is an inflammation of the gums. Whenever you hear a word with itis at the end, it means inflammation, and in this case, it's of the gums. Pockets form, and bacteria can enter the bloodstream. Bacteria can travel through the bloodstream under normal conditions as long as the favorable bacteria outnumber the negative ones. That can keep the inflammation contained and limit damage in other parts of the body, including the brain. Now, a group of researchers wanted to examine the difference in oral bacteria between 120 subjects, half of whom had MCI and control subjects who had normal cognitive function. They also wanted to test the difference between a subgroup of people who had the APOE4 gene and those that did not. Now, the reason for the latter comparison is that persons with the APOE4 gene have a greater risk of developing Alzheimer's disease before the age of 65 years. Now, to say that this was a complicated study, from the techniques used in assessing bacterial content of the mouth, the associated genes, and the statistical approaches used, is an understatement. So let me explain it in as simple terms as possible, because the potential solution is absolutely clear and understandable. A little more about why the bacteria are important. Two potential reasons. Negative bacteria could enter the bloodstream due to the periodontal disease and travel to the brain and other locations to cause problems. The other way that negative bacteria would wreak havoc is to replace the positive nitrate-reducing bacteria with a negative form of nitrate-reducing activity. Now, at this point, I know it seems like, who cares as long as they do their job? It does make a difference. If the potential for sending the nitrates to the brain to make nitric oxide is impacted, that's a problem. Nitric oxide increases blood vessel dilation, which is beneficial. And also, the nitric oxide is helpful to keep those synapses in your brain functioning and the cells viable. Also, very desirable. Well, here's what they found. They found there was a greater prevalence of the oral Prevotella bacteria, which was linked to the elevated genetic risk for dementia. In other words, they had the APOE4 gene. But this was in individuals with MCI prior to dementia diagnosis. Could the presence of the bacteria indicate the presence of the gene in those who have not had genetic testing for that APOE4 gene? Perhaps, but the test for bacteria is not commonly available, while genetic testing for APOE4 is. They also suggest that interventions that can increase the oral production of Neisseria haemophilus and suppress the Prevotella bacteria have the potential for delaying cognitive decline. More about that later. They also found the oral porphyromononas gene was associated with MCI and that the abundance of Prevotella was a predictor of APOE4 carrier status. What does that mean? Well, it means the association with this bacteria, Prevotella, may indicate the APOE4 presence. The next finding is related to the positive-negative bacterial balance. The balance between two metabolic pathways for oral nitrate reduction, denitrification, and dissimulatory rate of producing nitrate to ammonia, also known as DNRA, was skewed towards DNRA and MCI. Well, what does that mean? It leads to a potential solution for how cognitive decline could be delayed or prevented using prebiotic and dietary means. And further, they suggest that there's a need to test dietary nitrate in individuals at the early stages of cognitive decline, as an increase in dietary nitrate may help reverse the rise in oral Prevotella Neisseria ratio. That may delay the onset of MCI and possibly even Alzheimer's disease. Okay, how about all of this in plain English? What it means is that increasing vegetable intake, the primary source of nitrates in the diet. But that's not all. You also have to increase whole grains as they contain prebiotics, which feed the healthy probiotics. At the same time, decreasing simple carbohydrates and sugars decrease the source of food for the negative probiotics. What kind of diet does that sound like to you? The ketogenic diet? Probably not, as the lack of healthy carbohydrates may be too low to do any good. The one that comes to mind is the Mediterranean diet, or a localized version thereof. It focuses on vegetables, fruits, whole grains, high fiber, legumes, and nuts. One more thing? Decreasing the intake of ultra-processed food and simple sugars also is beneficial for growing positive bacteria. Eating that way could change the beneficial nitrate-reducing bacteria to help the brain use the nitrate to make nitric oxide. That's the dietary way to protect your brain from mild cognitive impairment and potentially other brain-damaging conditions as well. No matter how much we try to ignore it, your mother was right. Eat all your vegetables. I'll throw one more thing in there. Take care of your teeth and gums by brushing regularly and flossing every day. Well, that's it for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the like button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.